We're going to John chapter 6, and I want to call your attention to verse 5. This is what the Bible says. It says, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may all eat? And he said this to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here. He's got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in the number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. I want to take a few minutes, and I want to talk to you about what are you going to do with what you've got. What are you going to do with what you've got? You know, I've had a lot of people say to me, Brother Benny, when I retire, I'm going to do this for the Lord, and I'm going to do this for others. I've had people say to me, Pastor Benny, when I finish school, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Or after I get married, I'm going to do. But the question is, what are we doing today with what we've got? What are we doing today with what we've got? I've literally had people to say to me, Pastor Benny, if I win the lottery, I'm going to remember the church, and I'm going to give you a bunch of money to help out with that school and help out with the things at church. You said, Brother Benny, do you believe that? No. No, I don't. Because it's not what you do with a million if a million were your lot. It's what you're doing with a dollar and quarter that you've already got. Amen? I love the story about the little guy that was about 5'2". He was a lumberman. He weighed about 140 pounds, 5'2", and he worked in the woods. He worked in the timber. But he worked with a guy that was 6'4", 250 pounds, bulging biceps, similar to myself, bulging biceps. And this little 5'2" walked up to this big lumberman, and he said, I'll tell you what, if I was you, I'd go out in them woods, and I'd find the biggest bear, and I'd wrestle that bear, and I'd rip that bear to pieces. And that big lumberman looked at that little lumberman, and he said, there's some small bears in them woods, too. See, folks, it's what you're doing with what you've got that really counts. Now, you know, if there's one story in the Bible, if there's one story in the Bible that I really believe we ought to focus on, it's this story. Can you believe, folks, this is the only miracle where Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and everybody had fish and chips? This is the only miracle that every writer of the Gospels recorded. Matthew said, I'm going to write about it. Mark said, I'm going to write about it. John said, I'm going to write about it. Luke said, I'm going to write about it. Every one of the writers of the gospel wrote about this story. It's the only miracle. And it's the story of where Jesus took a lad's lunch and did great things. This week I was reading about a guy by the name of Nick Vujicic. Nick Vujicic. I hope I'm pronouncing his name properly. That's hard for a Tennessee boy. But Nick Vujicic, I thought, I'm going to tell the people about this guy. But then I thought, no, If 89% of everything we learn is visual, I'm going to let the people see it for themselves.
Born in Australia without arms or legs, 30-year-old Nick Vujicic has become a symbol of triumph against all odds. His inspiring YouTube videos have been watched over 100 million times.
It's a lie to think that you're not good enough. It's a lie to think that you're not worth anything.
But the road to self-acceptance was excruciating for Nick. For years, he was harassed and tormented at school. When he was 10, Nick attempted suicide. After years of feeling worthless and alone, Nick's awakening came while reading an article about a disabled man who refused to let physical limitations hold him back. In that moment, Nick says he discovered the power to take control of his life, and he has. Today, Nick surfs, he snorkels, he golfs, and plays soccer. He's traveled to 44 countries with his message of hope.
Even the worst part of your life can come together for the good.
And less than a year ago, Nick married the love of his life and danced at their wedding.
Here's what's interesting. As I was reading Nick's story, they asked him this question. They said, Nick, do you ever get depressed? And this is what he said. It was so interesting. He said, yes, I do. He said, I get depressed when I see people that God has gifted and God has given health to and God has given ability to and they don't use it. I get depressed when I see people that God has gifted and God has blessed and yet they don't use it. See, I believe the question is, what are we going to do, folks, with what we got? That's what God holds us responsible for. What are you going to do with what you've got? Now, there's three things I want you to see. There's three things in this scripture that I believe God wants us to see. The first thing God wants us to see is God wants you to use what's in your head. God wants you to use what's in your head. The Bible says, this story says, there was a hospital and there was a group of relatives waiting in a waiting room while a family member was very sick. Finally, the doctor came in, looked tired and sober. He said, I'm afraid I'm the bearer of bad news. The only hope left for your loved one at this time is a brain transplant. It would be experimenting, very risky, but it's the only hope. Insurance will not cover the procedure, so you'll have to pay for the brain. The family members sat silent as they absorbed the news. After a time, someone asked, how much will a brain cost? The doctor quickly responded, $5,000 for a male brain, $200 for a female brain. The moment turned awkward. Some of the men began to snicker a little bit. Finally, a man unable to control his curiosity blurted out, why is the male brain so much more than the female brain? The doctor smiled and explained to the entire group, it's just standard pricing procedure. We have to price the female brains a lot lower because they have been used. Now, here's the story, folks. Jesus had been teaching, and it was getting time for the evening meal. And there were 5,000 men there. And you know this, if they were 5,000 men, you've got women and children, amen? So there were somewhere around 15 or 20,000 people. And it was getting late. And Jesus said, do we need to go to Five Guys? Do we need to go to Five Guys and get hamburgers and those unlimited fries for all these people? And Philip speaks up and he said, Lord, if we do that, it would take 8 months of wages. There's no way we can do that. And then Andrew speaks up. And sometimes we brag on Andrew, but Andrew says these words. He said, there's a lad here. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But what are they among so many? You know what's amazing, folks? Here's what the Lord no doubt was thinking. On this day, you guys have watched me turn the water into wine. On this day, you've watched me heal a boy. On this day, you've watched me calm the stormy sea. But you're worried about how we're going to handle this situation. And what God is saying to them, why don't you use what's in your head? 2 Peter 3 and 1 says, stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance. And what God wants is saying to us, ladies and gentlemen, haven't I always seen you through? And I'm going to see you through again. Why don't you use what's in your head? See, I have people say to me, Brother Benny, I'm not creative. But see, folks, I don't buy into that. I don't buy into that. The Bible says in Genesis 1 and 1, and God created the heavens and the earth. You believe what you want to believe, folks? I believe God created the heavens and the earth. I don't want to be like the guy that says, once I was a tadpole, beginning to begin, and then I was a frog with my tail tucked in, and then I was a monkey in a banana tree, and now I'm a professor with a PhD. I don't believe that. I believe we were wonderfully and gloriously created by God. He didn't begin when the beginning began. He began the beginning. He didn't start with start. He started start. Before there was a was, he was. But think about this. If God's a creator and you're created in the image of God, you have creativity too. So what God wants us to do, folks, he said, use what's in your head. I'll tell you something else. He said, not only use what's in your head, but he said, use what's in your heart. Use what's in your heart. See, let me explain. When you think about, I was recently in Israel, and we had tilapia out of the Sea of Galilee. But folks, this wasn't tilapia. This was sardines. That's not an exaggeration. It was sardines. It was sardines, and the poor people had barley loaves. The prominent people had wheat. He had barley loaves. He had sardines. But I want you to see something here. Verse 11 tells us something. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks. Here's the message. Quit focusing on what you don't have and thank God for what you do have. See, the more you complain, the less you will obtain. Quit focusing on what you don't have and thank God for what you do have. This week I read a quote by Gary Smalley. And this is what Gary Smalley said. He said, 80% of marriages are good. That's my marriage, your marriage. But he said 20% of marriage is bad. So if you're in a marriage, 80% of it's going to be good, but 20% of it's going to be bad. It just is what it is. So you're saying, Brother Benny, 20% of my marriage is going to be bad? I think it is. Because, see, folks, this is what I've learned. God made men and women different. Amen? Do you realize this, folks? Do you realize that a man has 50% more blood in his body than a woman has? That's why she's always cold. Did you know it's a proven fact that men have thicker skulls than women? It's a proven fact. And all the women said, amen. Do you know this, folks? A lady's immune system is stronger than a man's. And that's why, on average, they outlive us by 7 years. You know what that means, Vern? Somebody else is going to be driving your boat someday. God made us different, folks. I researched it. I preached an entire message on it. My wife and I would go out and eat with couples. I started noticing my wife would say to the other lady, "Would you like to go to the restroom?" And they would go. I don't know what they do, but they would go. Could you imagine if perhaps Cameron said, "Pastor Benny, would you like to go to the restroom?" If he does, I'm not going. I'm not going. I'm not going. See, God made us different. And this is what I know, folks. You can choose to focus on the 20% or you can focus on the 80%. Use what's in your heart. And what I'm saying to you today, God will give you opportunities, folks. God will give you opportunities to share your lunch. I'm not just talking about resources. I'm talking about your time. I'm talking about your personality. I'm talking about your testimony. I'm talking about your networks. I'm talking about God will give you opportunities to share your lunch. I preached one Sunday just a few weeks ago, and a man said to me, "Brother Benny, I've got $1,000. And I want to give it to you to help somebody who needs a car." So this is what I started doing. I said, "Lord, show me somebody that I could help with a car." And I went and preached in a little church. Barbara went with me. And I preached Sunday night, and this single mom came. And I preached Monday night, and she came. And I preached Tuesday night, and she came. And Tuesday night after the service, Barbara said to her, "Why don't you come down to Georgia sometime and see us?" She said, "My car wouldn't get off this mountain. It wouldn't get off this mountain." And so we went back to church Wednesday night, and we got a text from that young lady that's a single mom that cleans houses for a living. And she said, "I wanted to come and hear Preacher Benny tonight, but my car, it blew up. And I came back to Georgia, and I met a man in my church, and I said to him, I said, 'I've got this situation. I need a car. I've got $1,000. Barbara and I can put some with it.'" He said, "No, no. You put that $1,000, you can just give that to the church. I'll tell you what my lunch is. I run a car lot. I've got a car. You can have the car, Preacher Benny." And Matt Akins and I went to another state and took the car. And I said, "Where's she at? I want to give her the car." And they said, "She's borrowed her daddy's truck. She's filled up jugs of water because the old truck gets hot. And she stops and puts water in the radiator because she's going from house to house, cleaning the house. And the vehicle gets hot, but she fills up a bunch of jugs of water before she goes." I said, "Can you bring her back?" And we gave her the car. Now listen to me closely, folks. I was just the conduit. I didn't do anything. So don't give me any praise. I didn't do anything. The man who gave the car gave his lunch. But I'll tell you this unequivocally. When I was pastor here 25 years, for being here 25 years, Rock Springs Church presented me a car. And I'm grateful. And I'm thankful. But I want you to know, I experienced a far greater feeling when I gave this young lady that cleans houses a car. It was a far greater feeling than what I experienced when I received a car. I'll tell you what God wants from me. I'll tell you what God wants from you. God's saying, use what's in your head. God's saying, use what's in your heart. But I tell you something else. God's saying, use what's in your hands. Use what's in your hands. What was in his hands? Barley loaves and sardines. You remember what God said to Moses in Exodus 4 and 2? Moses, how many of you ever watched the Ten Commandments? Sure we did. Remember Charleston Heston? The older group remembers it. Sure we do. And you remember, God said, Moses, what's in your hand? And he said, a rod. And he drops it. And it becomes a snake and it becomes something supernatural. Folks, that's what happens. God is saying, what's in your hands? And if you'll give it to me, it's amazing what will happen. A few days ago, Cameron and I are going to visit a young girl. She's about 14, folks. I was looking to see if I'd seen her mom or any of her family. She's about 14. And she's dying of cancer. And I pull up at the home to see her. And I look. And I see men from the church. And they've got hammers and they've got saws. And I said, men, what are you doing? They said, we're building a ramp, Pastor Benny. We're building a ramp where she can get in and out. And I thought, the hammer, the saw. The hammer, the saw. They're using what's in their hands. They're using what's in their hands. We got a football team. We have a great coach. But our football team practices in a cow field. And we're beating the other teams that have got stadiums. I go out there and our little boys are small. We beat them. They got these big old boys. Big old boys on this team. Some of them big enough to eat hay and dumb enough to enjoy it. I mean, big old boys. We're practicing on a cow field. But a man in the church said, Pastor Benny, I got a dozer. I got a dozer. I can't take you all the way through, but I got a dozer. And I'll take you as far as I can. What's he doing? He's using what's in his hands. He's using what's in his hands. I fixed some soup for a sick person. I fixed a meal. What are you doing? You're using what's in your hands. A man sat in my office this week. He said, Brother Benny, I've got cancer. And if I die, I want you to preach my funeral. I said, you're not going to die. We're going to pray. We're going to believe that you're going to be okay. Then he mentioned a name and he said, he takes me to my treatments. He gets his keys. He gets his vehicle. And he drives me to my treatments. Brother Benny, I threw up in his vehicle. But he said, that's okay. I want to use what's in my hands. I want to use what's in my hands. I want to help you. Folks, that's what Christianity, that's what church is really all about. I pastor thousands of people. And when you pastor thousands of people, you've got thousands of opinions. You've got thousands of opinions. Most people, opinions are kind of like armpits. Most people got a couple and sometimes they stink, amen? And sometimes when I'm going through a hard time, I've got an envelope. It's encouraging letters. And I pull it out And I start reading the encouraging cards. I start reading the encouraging letters. What have people done? They've taken a pen and they've used what's in their hand. You know what God's saying to us today? He's saying, use what's in your head. Use what's in your heart. Use what's in your hand. You know, I'm almost done. But there's three things I know about this little boy. Three things I know about him. First of all, he was unknown. You know what's really wild, folks? The Bible doesn't even give the kid's name. He's unknown. I heard about a guy whose name was Odd. O-D-D. Odd. And he hated his name. I can kind of understand. Come here, Odd. His name was Odd, and he hated his name. And he hated his name his entire life. And he said to his wife, when I die, just put the date of my birth and the date of my death on my tombstone. I don't want to be called Odd. Just leave it off. So they left it off. And everybody that would come to that cemetery would walk up to the grave and say, that's Odd. Well, listen. He didn't even, we don't even know if his name was Odd. We don't even know what his name was. He's unknown. But let me tell you something else. He was unselfish. Folks, he could have held something back. He said, no. He gave it all. What does the Lord want from us? Folks, he wants to be number one in our lives. You know, I realized something. He was unknown. He was unselfish. But I want you to know something else. He was unforgettable. How many of you folks, and I'm almost done, have read this story before? Bunch of you. How many of you forgot about Philip? Sure. You forgot about this cat named Andrew. Sure. But you never forgot about this boy. Because what he did was unforgettable. And folks, you may just be one person in this old world. But you may be one person's entire world. As our musicians softly play, I thought about, what are you going to do with what you got? What does God want? He wants our time. He wants our talent. He wants our wisdom. He wants our personality. He wants our experiences. He wants our relationships. What are you going to do with what you've got? There was a missionary one time. His name was Milton Cunningham. I think of this story, and I think of it today. And the reason why I think of it is my daughter, Savannah Abigail, is graduating from Vanderbilt Friday. And once she graduates, she takes a job working with special needs children. And I rejoice in a lot of ways, but I rejoice that she's leaving Vanderbilt and getting a job. But Milton Cunningham got on this airplane and he said, I got seated and I looked to my right and there was a little girl with Down syndrome. And that little girl with Down syndrome, they spoke, they exchanged pleasantries, and Then that little girl with Down syndrome looked at Milton Cunningham and she said, "Did you brush your teeth this morning?" And Milton Cunningham said, "I said, yes, I did." She said, "Good, because that will keep your breath from stinking." And then she said to Milton Cunningham, "Do you smoke?" And he said, "No, I don't smoke." She said, "Good, because that'll cause you to die." And then she said to Milton Cunningham, "Do you love Jesus?" And he said, "Oh, yes, I love Jesus." And Milton Cunningham said, "I looked to my left, and there was an astute businessman sitting to my left." And the little girl with Down syndrome said, "Ask him, did he brush his teeth this morning?" And Milton Cunningham said, it was so awkward, but I said to the businessman, "My friend wanted me to ask you, did you brush your teeth this morning?" And he said, "Yes, I did." And then she said, "Ask him, does he smoke?" And he said, "My friend wanted me to ask you, do you smoke?" And he said, "No, I don't." And then she said, "Ask him if he loves Jesus." And Milton Cunningham said, "My friend wanted me to ask you, do you love Jesus?" And he said, "I can't say that I do." And Milton Cunningham said, "On that flight, I was able to lead that man to Christ." But you know, I don't believe it would have happened without a little girl who was doing everything she could with what she had. And my message for you today is, what are you going to do with what you've got? What are you going to do with the talent, the treasure, the experience, the wisdom, the ability? What are you going to do with what you've got?
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling, He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.